About abundance. How many are interested in abundance? Amen. Now, we cannot earn God's abundance. It comes only through the grace of God. On the other hand, we must realize the requirements that God has laid down for us to receiving His provision in faith. We want to look at some of the principles that God attaches to His promises. I'm going to give you a few of those principles. First principle, all of God's promises hold our provision. All of the promises of God hold our provision. All the basic principles of God's abundance are related in some way to His promises. I'd like you to take your Bible and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Looking at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Our Christian life is intended to be a life of multiplication. It's not static. It's not just a matter of holding on to what you have. It's not a matter of addition. It's multiplication. And this comes through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Everything we ever need comes to us through God. Everything. He's the source. It comes through Jesus Christ, the channel. Jesus is the channel. And through the divinely appointed administrator of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit. No other source, channel, or administrator is needed. Look at verses 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, I want us to look at the language that Peter uses there. God has already given to us all we're ever going to need for every area of our lives pertaining to life and to godliness. He's already done it. And many times we pray on the basis of misunderstanding, asking God to give us something or meet a particular need that He's already supplied. Amen. Yes, right. I believe sometimes we just have to adjust our starter thinking in order to pray the kind of prayer that God is able to answer. Thanking God is often more appropriate than petitioning Him. For God has already given us everything. Notice again, it's all included in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek says Jesus called us by His own glory and virtue. This is not our glory, but His. This is not our virtue, it's His virtue. God has already given us everything we are ever going to need, and it's all contained in the knowledge of Jesus. Now, it's interesting, write this down if you're taking notes, the Greek word for knowledge can also be translated acknowledging. Knowledge or acknowledging. So in this case, it means both knowledge and acknowledging. It's not enough that we intellectually know about Jesus. We must effectively acknowledge Him in our lives. And here are the key words by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. God has already given us everything we're ever going to need. Hallelujah. That's a wow moment. God's provision is in His promises. Now, this is so important that we get this. Say this statement over and over again to yourself so it becomes a part of your thinking. All of God's promises hold our provision. Say it together. All of God's promises hold our provision. Now, if you don't know or relate to the promises, you don't receive the provision. We have to get into the promises to receive the provision. It's not because God has not made the provision, it's because we've not discovered or not willing to avail ourselves to it. There's an amazing statement found in verse 4 that through these, the promises, you may be partakers of divine nature. Through the promises, you may be partaker of the divine nature. Now, I don't even want to start to guess how many of us can understand and absorb that particular statement. Just get a hold of this for a moment. It means through the promises, we become partakers of God's very own nature. Through his promises. Now, if that wasn't in the Bible, it might be hard to accept. But there it is in verse 4. Through the promises of God, you and I as believers, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, coming to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, becoming partakers of God's own nature. We receive the very nature of God within us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We receive the very nature of God within us. And boy, that can be a risky statement. The way Scripture supports it, when Jesus was challenged about his claim to be the Son of God, he quoted Psalm 82:6. I said you are gods. God speaking to humans and said you are gods. Through the promises of God, we can become partakers of God's nature. We take on the very nature of God. The next statement is amazing, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. In proportion as we become partakers of the divine nature, we escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires, spiritual, moral, even physical corruption. That is because divine nature and corruption are incompatible. As we receive the promises of God, they impart to us his divine nature. And as we receive the divine nature of God, we're delivered from the corruption that's in this world. All this comes through the great and precious promises of God. Now, I want to take a moment and just sum up what we've said so far. There are five successive statements here. Number one, God's divine nature has already given us everything we're ever going to need for all time and eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, God's provision is all contained in rightly knowing and acknowledging Jesus. Number three, all of God's provision is in his promise. Number four, as we appropriate the promises, we become partakers of God's nature. And number five, as we become partakers of God's nature, we're delivered from the corruption of this world. And we need to go over these points time and time again until they become life to every part of us. So let's go on and look at another principle of walking in God's provision. How many are interested in stepping into your inheritance? Amen. Now, there's a very simple parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, under the leadership of Joshua, God brought his people into a promised land. In the New Testament, under the leadership of Jesus, which in the Hebrew means Joshua, God brings his people into a land of promises. Under the Old Covenant, a promised land. Under the New Covenant, a land of promises. So this takes us to the second principle regarding God's abundance. All of God's promises are our inheritance. All of God's promises are our inheritance. They belong to us. And our inheritance is what God is bringing us into. But we must realize, even though he's given it to us, we still have to lay hold of it and to walk in it. Moses brought Israel out of Egypt and into a wilderness, but Moses could not bring them into the promised land. God raised up another leader, Joshua, and commissioned him after the death of Moses to bring Israel into the land that was promised. And God gave Joshua some basic conditions. First, God said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, that's very significant. Before we can come into something new, there always has to be a death of something old. The spiritual life, in certain sense, is like the seasons of the year. There's a continuing, ongoing cycle of seasons. There's a summertime when there's abundance. Then there's fall, a time of withering. Winter, a time of death. And then spring, a time of renewal and resurrection. And this is a principle that goes on through our lives. God only blesses that which has died and has been resurrected. The transition from Moses to Joshua represents a transition that takes place in our lives as we go from glory to glory. I want us to go to Joshua chapter 1, looking at verses 2 and 3. Joshua chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I have said to Moses. Now notice a major difference. In verse 2, God says, I'm giving the land to Israel. The very next verse, He says, I've given it to you, past tense. It's very, very important that we understand and see this. As soon as God gave the land had been given. Nothing had changed physically. They were still in the same position. The visible ownership of the land had not changed at the least bit. But because Almighty God said, I'm giving you the land, from that moment onward, legally, the land was theirs. It had been given to them. Just as we saw in the first principle, the promises hold the provision. God has already given us everything by giving us His promises as our inheritance. The promises of God are our inheritance. They belong to us. Now, the way in which Joshua and Israel entered into the inheritance is a pattern for us to follow. First of all, they had to understand that it was legally theirs. Second, they had to do something about it. So often as believers, I think we wait for things just to drop out of the sky. The Lord said to Joshua, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given to you. So they had to go on the basis of what God had told them, believing that the land was theirs. And they had to assert their ownership by placing their feet on that land that God promised. God said to them, as soon as you put the foot on there, it legally belongs to you, it's yours. But to make it experientially yours, to have it actually an experience, you have to go in and take the land. That's exactly the same way with you and I. We have to do just as they did. First of all, we have to believe what God said, legally, that it belongs to us because God has given to us. And second, we have to act, move in, as it were, and place our feet on every area that God has promised. I'm putting my foot on this promise. Because God has given it to me. As soon as we experientially place our feet on that area in faith, it becomes ours in reality. Israel entering into the promised land is a pattern for us who are entering into the land of promises. In Joshua 1:2, the Holy Spirit emphasized the word all. God was not going to leave any of the people behind. Most circles today would be happy if we get 70%. But God said everyone's going over. Everyone's going over. And man, I tell you, what a thrilling experience to walk in this house this morning and see almost every seat taken full. Because all are entering in, praise God. And what a marvelous experience to stand up here and teach first fruits and see almost every single individual that was in this place come forward and do something in first fruits. God wants to bring all in, praise God. He doesn't want any of us missing out on the blessings and the promises He has for us. Legally, when you come to Christ, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Therefore, the full inheritance is legally yours the moment you're born again. But there's a great deal of difference between what's legally yours and what you enter into. God brought the children of Israel into the promised land by a miracle, the crossing of the Jordan, and then gave them the first victory, the taking of Jericho by a miracle. But they had to fight for every piece of land that they possessed after that. And you and I should expect to get our inheritance without, you and I should not expect to get our inheritance without conflict. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Listen to how they were to gain their experience. Every place you put your foot, legally, as far as right at the moment of conversion. Hallelujah. Experientially, however, we have to move in and assert our claim to which God has given us. We have to put our foot on each promise as we come to it. Get a vivid picture of God, you promised this, and it's mine. I'm standing on the promise. I put my foot on it. Principles are interesting. Anybody interested in hearing one or two more?
Amen.
All of God's promises are an expression of His will. All of God's promises are an expression of His will. It's important for us to understand that God has never promised anything that was not His will. God didn't have to make promises. They are all an expression of His grace. He could have given us no promises at all, but making His promises available to His Word, He made Himself available to us. Say that again. As soon as He made a promise available to us in His Word, He made Himself available to us. He has revealed His will to us. So when you come to God on the basis of His clearly stated promises, and you know and have understood them in the way they were intended, when you come to God on that basis, then you know it is the will of God. And you can pray in faith, knowing the will of God, and knowing that when you pray, He hears you and you have what you prayed for. In most cases, when our faith is being tested, or when we're seeking answers to prayer, the vital issue is the will of God. When we know God's will, we can pray with confidence. For we know when we pray according to His will, He hears us, and we know if He hears us that we have the confidence that He'll do what He says He will do for us. So please make sure we understand the issue is the will of God. If we know that we're praying according to His will, then we know that He hears us, and we know that He hears us, and we know we have what He asked of Him and is granted. Now that doesn't mean we have the immediate experience. But we know it's settled. The provision is ours. So the vital truth in prayer and the whole life of faith is really knowing the will of God. And God has graciously revealed His will to us and His promises. That's how we know the will of God. If God promises to do something, it's His will to do it. Interesting, this verse says, this is the confidence we have. What is confidence? This is the confidence we have. That word confidence literally means freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. So that verse could say, this is the freedom, we know what the will of God, and then this is the freedom of speech that we have in God. So the implication is that our confidence needs to be expressed by what we say. In other words, if I know the will of God regarding something, then I need to be able to say it. I need to be able to confess it. I need to be able to stand on the rooftop and shout it out. Because faith never rises above the level of what I confess. When we ask something according to the will of God, we know we have it. There are numerous scriptures that support the concept of receiving what we pray for. You may want to mark these down. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. For whoever asks receives, and who he seeks finds. To him that knocks, it will be open." There's not one negative suggestion in all these words. In six different ways, Jesus tells us that God wants us to pray and to receive what we ask for. Matthew 21:22. Jesus says, "All things." How many? All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. How can it be any clearer? All things whatsoever you shall ask, you shall receive. John 14:13-14, Jesus says, "And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." What could be more emphatic or embracing than a statement, "If you ask anything in my name, he says, I'll do it." John 5:15-7, read, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Jesus challenges us here to ask and receive the answer so that our joy may be full. And I'm totally convinced that there's nothing that gives fullness of joy more than wonderfully knowing that God, Almighty God, answers your prayer. Hallelujah. You know, when you get that reassurance that that prayer has been answered, doesn't that cause joy to rise up on you and the inside of you? That your joy may be full. Thus God, the one who has all power, is attentive to the voice of our prayer and delights to do that which we ask. That's why Jesus said that fullness of joy, ask and you will receive. How many want some more fullness of joy? Hallelujah. Get a hold of the promises and ask. So the great basic thing we're dealing with here is that God wants you to pray, but he also wants you to receive what you pray for. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them." The correct translation there is receive, not receive. Receive them. You have received them. When do we receive them? We could say when we pray. It goes on, "You shall have them." Receiving is right now in the present. So what does God, what did Jesus refers to that as the God kind of faith, and he says, what does Jesus say you're going to get? So I said this morning, and sometimes it isn't about the answer, but it's about asking the question. "Therefore I say unto you, what things will you desire when you pray, and believe that you receive them." What does he say you're going to get? Come on, speak to me. We've done this before. I did it in England a week ago. The congregation, we've done it before, and was getting close to 35 minutes, and we thought we better give them the answer. Now, what does, look at the passage of Scripture in Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask, no. Whatever you desire, no. Come on, look at the Scripture. Don't look at me. What does Jesus say you're going to get? Sorry? Whatever you say? No. Now, all of these have a portion of being part of being right. Whatever you believe that you receive. Whatever you believe that you receive. No. When do we receive? See, now see if we can get, see if we can get pick the answer out of this. When do we receive? When we pray. And you shall have them. Receiving is right now in the present. We have to believe that we receive the very moment that we're praying. We have to believe that we receive. In other words, I'm praying, I have to believe that I receive it right now. How many know when you're praying and you believe that you receive it right now, you know that you know that you know that you know that's a reality? That's operating in the God kind of faith. And you can say, I know that I know that I know. We must get a hold of it. We must receive by faith at the very moment that we pray. And then we boldly express our confidence. What is boldly expressing our confidence? Using our freedom of speech to express that this is the will of God and therefore he hears me. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire for him, from him. Anybody want one or two more principles? Do we have time? Do we? What time do we have till? It's 7:45. Okay? Principle number 4, all of God's promises are now available to us through Jesus Christ. All of God's promises are now available to us through Jesus Christ. All the promises are now, everybody say now, available to us through Jesus Christ. One of the devil's favorite tactics is to get something off to the future. He resorts to the same tactic. He does not say no, he just says tomorrow. As a result, you hesitate just for a moment and fail to appropriate the blessings of God. All the blessings of God are for now. God lives in the eternal now. When you meet God, it's never yesterday. It's never tomorrow. It's always right now.
Hallelujah.
His name is not I was, nor will I will be. It's always I am. He's an I am, I now God. Oh, let's take the time and go to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Please be patient. This particular verse regulates nearly all of God's blessings and provisions, either in the past or in the future. It's not easy to translate into English. There are a number of different ways to translate it, but they all amount to the same thought in the end. So we're going to look at two translations, the first one from the New International Version, if you can put that up. And then secondly, we'll look at from the King James. From the NIV, it reads, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. In the King James, for all the promises of God in him, Jesus Christ, are yes in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now considering what the NIV says, no matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in Christ. In other words, for every promise God has made, if we come to him in the name of Jesus and claim it, then God says yes. Come to him in the name of Jesus. The NIV continues, so through him and the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. When God says yes and we respond with amen, that settles it. Our responsibility with amen is like putting our feet in the particular area of the ground. This applies to every promise in the Word of God. You come to God on the basis of that promise through Jesus Christ. God says yes, and when God says yes, you say amen to the promise, and that settles it. It seems that the King James Version says this about as clearly and emphatically as possible, easier to explain. For all the promises of God in Him, Jesus. Testing 1, 2. Is that better? Okay. It seems that the King James Version says it about as clearly and as emphatically as possible, and it's easier to explain. For all the promises of God in Him, Jesus, are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. If another translation is still needed, I'd suggest this. God gave all the promises to be yes. He fulfilled all the promises to be amen in Jesus. But whatever translation we follow, there are certain key words that do not change. First of all, it is all the promises. Not some, but all the promises. All the promises of God, every promise God has ever made, is yes in Jesus Christ. Second, it says are, not were or nor will be. All the promises are, all the promises of God are in the now. All the promises of God are in the now. Some people say, well, God did wonderful things in the past. He'll do wonderful things in the future. But just at this moment, God's sort of bankrupt and He can't do anything for me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all the promises of God are now. And yes, and amen. Third, the promises are in Him, Jesus. There's only one channel through which God makes His promises available to us. The unique, all-sufficient channel is Jesus. Abundance comes to us only from the source of God, through the channel Jesus Christ. Fourth, they're all given to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I want to skip along a little bit. The next principle. All of God's promises being fulfilled does not depend upon our circumstances, but upon His power. When God gives a promise, it's not limited to a particular set of circumstances. It doesn't have to be easy for God to do what He's promised to do. The truth of the matter is God's promises do not depend upon the circumstances in which we find ourselves at all. Circumstances make no difference. You can be a man who is 100 years old with a wife who is 90 years old, but if God says you're going to have a son, be prepared, you're going to have a son. Let me make a bold statement here. We do not need to try to make things easier for God. God wants to work in such a way that the glory goes only to Him. Remember the purpose of all of the promises of God. It puts forth His abundance. It's His glory. In a certain sense, the more impossible, the more glory God gets. Boy, this looks tough. How is God ever going to handle this? The tougher it is, the more glory. Amen? This is why we see biblical men and women of faith being put into tough situations, so God would get all the glory. Situation so tough that it would be no way in the natural that the man could get out of it, or a man or woman could get out of it, except be for the grace of God. So God gets the glory. Crossing the Red Sea was difficult, but it was made that way so God would get the glory. Crossing the Jordan was difficult, but it was made that way so God would get the glory. So my best suggestion is when we face difficult situations, not to whine and complain, but to realize that the promises of God are yes and amen, and to walk in the promises that he's provided for us. What about Gideon? How many men did he start out with? Was it 22,000 men? 30,000 men? 32,000 men? How many did they end up with? 300. God didn't make it easy. It was made difficult. It's all for God's glory. I want you to bow your heads for a moment, if you will. Just keep your heads bowed quietly just before the Lord. Just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you at a time have prayed and you needed a scripture and you found a scripture that met a particular need? You praise God and you thank God that that need was met. Just raise your hand. How many times have you had a similar need and you've gone to the same scripture and have applied it only to find it hasn't worked? Raise your hands. Let me give you three key points. This is to appropriate in the promises of God. Step number one, let the Holy Spirit pick the promise. Blessed Holy Spirit, you know what I need. You know God's perfect will. You know the Word of God. Show me the scripture that I need in this particular case. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to show you the scripture as required. The second step. Examine the conditions. When the Holy Spirit leads you to a promise, make sure you examine the conditions. God, in most cases, says, if you do this, I will do that. So, number one, let the Holy Spirit pick the promise. Number two, examine the conditions. And number three, believe and act. As I said this morning, listen to the voice of your God, the voice of your God. Be diligent to do what he says. Step number one, let the Holy Spirit pick the promise. Step number two, examine the conditions. Step number three, believe and act. Maintain an attitude of faith. Amen. Father, we just bless and thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've accomplished in the house. We thank you that everything that was done this morning and tonight, we We believe with the best of our ability was done to your honor and glory. That you got honor and glory out of every aspect of the services. We praise you now for the great awesome results that will be taking place between now and Easter. That God, people have put their faith on the line, believing for the amounts that they've committed to first fruits. That, Father, you'd see that manifest worked out on their behalf so they can meet their commitments and then they can go on believing for the manifestation of the full harvest that you have for them. We pray that this year is going to be a supernatural, abundant year of harvest. It's going to be jobs, new jobs, breakthrough. It's going to be healings. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be wow moments. There's going to be God moments. There's going to be those supernatural times. And we'll stand back and say, wow, look what our Lord did. Let it be so in every one of our lives and in the life of this church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask tonight. I believe there's offering envelopes in the back of the pews. We're going to take an offering tonight, and that offering tonight would be towards your first fruits commitment. It's not an additional offering. It's an offering towards your first fruits commitment. And anybody that did not make their commitment yet, there was a couple, two or three, if you want to come forward now at this time, we'll pray with you, believe with you for the full harvest to be manifested. And others, if you can prepare your offering and mark it towards your first fruits commitment, so it's credited to that particular need. Anybody need a healing? Anybody else need a healing? Here's four great conditions for healing. Diligently hearken to his voice, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. if you're presenting an offering tonight towards your first fruit commitment that just made this morning, just come up to the front. Just take a time, just blessing and praising God, and leave your offering in the bucket. Even if you're not bringing an offering up, bring yourself up and celebrate the good things that Jesus has promised for 2014. Amen. Let's all stand. So it means everybody's coming and everybody's celebrating. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. Magnify your name. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Be a celebrating people. Be a celebrating people. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. 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 And we did something this morning. We saw a funnel. Everybody close your eyes and just picture that funnel again. Just picture the blessings of God flowing from heaven. Yes. Touching this realm here. I wouldn't be so bold to do this if I hadn't experienced it, seen it happen. I reached into the third heaven in the presence of the Lord. And I brought down a new kneecap for a lady in the congregation that needed a new kneecap. Anyone here tonight needing a new kneecap? Father God, we just so believe in your word and your promises that healing is a child's bread. It's ours. It's part of the word. So I just reach into the third heaven right now at this moment. We just pull down for that knee part right now. In Jesus' name, may there be a manifestation in this physical body of that which is brought down from heaven. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Oh, Santa Macobre, Sikiti di Anta, Coma Cobre, Santa di Anta, Carama Coreanta. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Do something you couldn't do before.
Hallelujah. Yeah, feel good.
Does it feel good?
Uh huh.
What happens if I kick it? Just raise your hands. Everyone, raise your hands. Come on, we're on holy ground. We're taking a step into the third heaven. We're reaching into the third heaven. For the part that's needed for this knee right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we draw it down. We believe in the name of Jesus for the miracle to be manifested. Oh, makosiki anta gobre santa rana makori anta rana makosiki anta gara makobre santa. E santa rana makoi anta rana makobre siki anta. Hallelujah. Do something you couldn't do before.
It don't click.
It don't click.
No.
Good. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. All of the promises of God are for now. And they are our inheritance. They belong to us. Any single one of us has the right to reach into the third heaven. Just go into the presence of the Almighty and call down what we're believing for and what we need. Amen. If it's His will, He hears us, and if He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So let's give Him a clap offering. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
While we're in an atmosphere of faith and believing God tonight, Brother John, can you sing that song, How Big Is God? You can, all right? I want us to pray, though, first. We have two precious lives in the hospital tonight that need our prayers. John Roberts is in the hospital tonight, and Angelina also. No. Pena. Yeah. I know, I went through that in the hospital the other day. I know that. But no, in all seriousness, these are two families of this church that they need a miracle. If you were in the hospital, you know, there's some strange things that are happening here in the end times. It's like the devil's throwing some sideways things, you know. And we just, faith is bigger than any problem that Satan could present. I want to pray for John Roberts now. We know the work, the price has been paid, and Jesus has already taken care of that. If you could just take someone by the hand, I want us to pray, Ed and Alana, lift that precious family up to God tonight. And also the Martinez family. Father, you see these two that are in the hospital tonight. God, we know that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Father, we lift up John Roberts tonight. In the name of Jesus. What is impossible to man is possible with God and through God. Oh God, we cry for miracles tonight. Miracles tonight. Miracles. Oh, Yarabashia Lamarabaka. Undergird this family. Undergird this family with supernatural strength and a faith that is born of the heart of God. Likewise, Angelina. Oh, God. Touch that brain area now. Touch her precious body right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we pray safety over the members, the attendees, those that look to this house as their spiritual home. Oh, God, we cry for safety, supernatural, angelic escort. Oh, Ribasai, the just shall live by faith. Lord, we just thank you tonight for the word and the promise, the supernatural provisions that God has made for our finances, our health, our jobs, our marriages, our relationships. Thank you, Father, for the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.